The money problems in western Oregon counties are a constant discussion topic. Federal timber cutting used to provide huge chunks of the county's budgets. Now, few trees are cut. And Josephine County, for one, runs few patrols by sheriff's deputies. The public safety system took deep cuts over several budget cycles, voters being asked to contribute more money in the May 20th election. Ballot measure 1759 would put more money into the jail and juvenile system. Pat Fahey is the lead petitioner for that measure and from the group Securing Our Safety. Pat, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me, Jeffrey.
This feels like deja vu. I mean, we had measure 1749 last May and
Correct.
That failed. Was that also an initiative petition?
No, it wasn't. That was a referral by the county commissioners. When that failed, and it was ever so close, it failed by 500 votes, a group of us got together and said, okay, what do we need to do differently to get this passed? And it got real obvious real quick that I think the biggest reason why it failed was the distrust by a section of the community against the county government in general. It doesn't matter who the county commissioners are. They just don't like county government in general. So we thought we'd change the formula a little bit and do an initiative. And what that is that we have to go out and get signatures from our fellow citizens, fellow voters, to put this on the ballot. And the hurdle was set at about 1,975 signatures. We ultimately gathered about 2,400 signatures from our fellow citizens to put it on the ballot. And what that does, it means that you are working hard to educate people before you even get to the ballot. So we've actually talked to a lot of folks and heard their concerns. And when we originally drafted the ballot itself, and that's a whole, you could have a whole program about drafting battle.
Just the process of trying to figure out what to put in it?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you spend a lot of time working, wordsmithing what the words are going to look like. And you get it all done, and there's a set of parameters about how many words you can use, and then you turn it over to the county clerk, and then he has to go through the process. He does some evaluation to make sure it passes a certain muster on him, and then he turns over to the DA, who then evaluates it to match the state standards. And what they're looking for is to make sure that there's a ballot initiative, or the language will stand up to scrutiny in a legal challenge. And so you wordsmith what you think is the right way to sell us, and it comes back and it may not be anything like what you said. It's pretty close. It's the dollars are the key points are where we want them to be, the dollar amount, the terms, and would give us enough money to fund the jail and juvenile. And that's another interesting point is how do we get to that number, and why do we do the jail and the juvenile?
All right, so I want people to understand right off the bat, you're not talking about funding the full range of county. This is not as broad in scope as Measure 1749 was a year ago.
Correct. 1749 was, if I remember right, it was $1.39 or $1.40 something. This is $1.19 per thousand for 5 years. And our thought was this. We knew this is a bridge method. You know, it's something to get some level of protection for the county residents. So we looked at other successful levies recently, and one was in Lane County, and they funded the jail and juvenile. So we went to start the process. We actually went to the sheriff's department and the county finance officer and the juvenile justice department and said, if we're going to fund you at complete capacity, now they've never been funded at complete capacity, but if we're going to fund you at complete capacity, what would that number be? And that's where we got the $1.19 per thousand. And what that does, the jail in Josephine County has a, if I'm correct, I think the capacity is about 260 beds. You really can't have that many in there for practical reasons. There's people coming in, going out. The effective capacity, about 210 beds. The juvenile is 12 to 18 beds. I can't really tell you for sure. But that's at complete capacity. Now, right now we're about 100 beds. And the only reason we were at 100 beds is that the city of Grants Pass contributed some money to do that because they saw such a problem in downtown Grants Pass, so they contributed. And a one-time measure. They're not going to do it again this year.
Right. It was $1 million one time, right?
Yeah, $1 million one time. They don't have the money to do it again this year. So we said, okay, let's fund this. Now, what about rural patrols? Well, if you take the jail and the juvenile out of the current budget, the one we're living in now, it frees about $3.5 million that becomes available for other uses. And then what are those other uses going to be? Well, we've asked for and got a commitment from the county commissioners that whatever money becomes available, their highest and first priority is the sheriff's department and ergo rural patrols. I get asked a lot, how would you use it? And my standard response is that I'm really a pretty good garbage man. That's my job. I'm not a sheriff. Let the sheriff decide how best to use those funds. And I think that knowing Sheriff Gilbertson or any of the candidates coming now, I think they'll do a good job with it. So that's how we got the money. That's how we got the dollar amount, and that's the plan. So now we have a plan. We went out and gathered signatures to get the plan in the ballot. Now it's how do we go about convincing our fellow voters? Well, basically, we'll talk to anybody. If two people are meeting and they want a third person to talk about the levy, we'll talk about the levy. We've sent out direct mailings to thousands of people. We have advertisements in the paper. We've had forums. We've had marches. It's a pretty dedicated group of individuals, the Securing Your Safety folks. And if there's one thing I've gained out of this, it's that the fellow citizens I work with on efforts like this are really a top-notch. They're about as good a group of people and about as dedicated as you'll ever find. They're opinionated, yes. They want to do things their way, yes. But as far as commitment to the process of what Josephine County should look like, I can't find a better group of people to be with. And that's what makes it worthwhile for me.
Pat Fahey is with Securing Our Safety. He's the chief petitioner for Measure 1759, which is a five-year levy for jail and youth services and detention in Josephine County. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange if you have questions about what is in this levy and what is not, perhaps, as well. Pat's available on this phone discussion at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, in Josephine and Jackson Counties, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. So here again, it's a five-year levy, so that would sunset.
It would sunset, yes. And the whole thought is that during this five-year levy, we're not going to stop. There's other things we can explore. There's some statewide initiatives we're looking at. There's other non-property tax measures we're looking at. This will just give us time to evaluate it and try and get something else going on. A lot of the argument is that why do the taxpayers have to pay for – the property tax owners have to pay for everything? And it's a valid argument, you know, and it's one we should look at and find if there's another way to fund it, we should fund it.
But the other options are things like a county income tax, which is one of the things that's been discussed, for example, in the emergency legislation that would allow the state to declare an emergency and run some of the services for the county.
Right. And I
people love income taxes not a whole lot more than they do love property taxes, though, right?
No. When that came up at the legislature, I testified saying that if the legislature wants to act on this, the governor wants to act on it, you have to be very careful because I think you could really just confirm everybody's suspicions about state government, you know, just saying that they're heavy-handed, they'll come down and do whatever they want and charge us accordingly. I'd like to talk a little bit about last year's measure. We lost by 590 votes.
And that was a broader measure that would have actually restored some money for sheriff's patrols.
The thing I always like to tell people is that roughly 50% of the people didn't vote. And a little story I like to tell, and there's 24,000 people voted, 24,000 people didn't vote. I actually printed out a list of the 24,000 people that didn't vote just because I wanted to see who didn't vote. And there's always that thing about you should never ask a question unless you're ready for the response. Three of the names in that list were my three children.
Really?
Yeah. And I took that opportunity to express to them the importance of good citizenship and estate planning. So we've had that discussion.
Estate planning?
Estate planning.
A connection there.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, you know, it's important. And I speak to youth groups occasionally. I said, you know, this whole thing about voting, if you can vote, you should, because it's your voice. And it's people have died to give us that right. We should take every opportunity we can to express our opinion on it. Because if you don't, you really don't have a right to complain. So I'm hoping that message gets out there as well. I think this election in May, there's going to be a reasonably good turnout because there's important things in the ballot. There's primary elections, of course, which there wasn't last year. There's also some other initiatives, which to me, I feel pretty good about. There's an initiative out there to fund animal control. There's also the GMO initiative. Now, I'm not going to share my opinion on either one of those because I only have one I'm working on. It's a public safety levy. But what that tells me is that people are starting to get involved with direct democracy. You know, those of us that are willing to ask our neighbors for support and not counting on the government to do everything for us. I think that says a lot about us, and actually it makes me feel better about Josephine County. Now, we ultimately may not be successful, and we may have to do something else, but at least we've gotten to the point now where we're having that discussion in a broader format, and I think it's going to be good for future things.
I want to understand what you said a few minutes ago, though, which is that if this measure should pass, if Measure 1759, this year's measure, passes and provides a five-year levy for jail and youth services and detention, there's more ability for the county to hold on to people arrested for crimes. And you believe, but you're not sure, but money will be freed up for things like Sheriff's Patrol, but that's totally up to whoever is the sheriff and the commissioners.
Right, exactly. And that's where you get down to the trust issue. And that's really where this whole issue has been. You know, I attended one meeting one time at a, I won't say where there's a group of 10 or 15 people. None of them would sign the initiative because the county commissioners had not pledged to use that money for patrols or use that money for public safety. And it got real obvious that we had to have some sort of public statement from them. And so we actually went to the county commissioners and said, you need to make your wishes plain. We need to know what your intentions are to do if there is any money available. And that's where they came back with a fairly clear statement saying that, yes, we will use the, whatever money is available for public safety. And that's online, and actually that's on our website. If you want to take a look at the letter itself, it's www.securingoursafety.org, I think. And you can go out to there and find it and take a look at that. But it really is a trust issue.
Pat Fahey, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is the chief petitioner for Measure 1759, which is the five-year levy for jail and youth services and detention in Josephine County. He's from the group Securing Our Safety. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about county finances and public safety and ballot measures. And don't forget, by the way, you need to register to vote if you haven't done so already on the Oregon side by tomorrow. So the numbers again here on the Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In Josephine and Jackson counties, 541-552-6782, and our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Yes, it is securingoursafety.org.
Yes,
just went to that page. Well, it sounds like you've already anticipated one question here, which is a specific earmark,
yes,
just for jail and youth services and detention. This money could be spent nowhere else. That was a big question that seemed to pop up with last year's measure.
Right, right. And it gets back to that whole thing about last year. I heard the argument by the opposition say, well, it doesn't say may, it say shall. There's a wordsmithing
right.
issue out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets back to that whole thing about when you draft the initiative, it goes through this meat grinder that substitutes words for you to make sure it stands up to legal challenges. And that's one of the words that gets put in there. Now, should the county commissioners last year said something else? Perhaps, but then it would have been just another issue. You know, the people who want to vote against it will find a reason to vote against it. That's what you find out. And quite often it's not what they say it is. It's some other reason. They have some past angst with the county for whatever reason, or past angst with the sheriffs.
So in coming up, you mentioned the process of coming up with the numbers and how much would you need to make sure
right.
that you have this going on, et cetera. But you still have to be careful in how you approach people about wanting them to vote yes for this, because just the way that numbers can get used, as I look at this, it's like, okay, you're talking about essentially a tripling of the county's tax rate, but that does not mean a tripling of property taxes because there are so many other rates in there
right.
as well. So, I mean, just right there, you can begin to get yourself in trouble. People, oh my God, my taxes are going to triple, but they're not.
Right. If you look at your tax bill in Josephine County, the tax rate for Josephine County is probably one of the smallest ones out there. It's 58 cents a thousand. Your mm-hmm. total bill, I can't tell you because I don't know what fire district you live in, what school district you live in, but it's usually upwards of $10 a thousand. So the 58 cents a thousand is a very small number. And to put it in comparison, and it's been said before, and it's true, that Josephine County, for the county government, 58 cents a thousand is the lowest rate in the state. Comparable counties around us, Jackson County, a little over $2, Douglas County, a dollar. You get up to Multnomah and Marion County, it's multiple increments of the 58 cents a thousand. I'm not using that as an argument in favor of it because I think comparisons are not a good example. But it does show you that it's not very much. And even at, if you have a $200,000 house, and people use that as kind of a benchmark, this will raise your property taxes in the course of a year about $238. And that's not an insignificant number, but it's not as bad as the opponents would like make you want to believe.
$238 a year on how much?
$200,000 house.
$200,000 house. And there aren't that many of those in Josephine County, are there?
Josephine County is a pretty diverse area. It goes the full spectrum. Yeah, a lot of them are a lot more than that, but you can just do the math. It's $1.19 a thousand per thousand for whatever the value of your house is.
All right. And total context here, because I know I've seen a number of letters to the editor about various tax measures in this election on May 20th in Oregon. The total amount of money that can be levied for school and non-school, and this is not including any bonded indebtedness being repaid, $15.
Correct.
$15 per thousand. And Josephine County's tax rate, as you just mentioned, is a little more than half a dollar per thousand.
Right. And it's kind of interesting, the history, how it got there. For years, from the 50s up to the 80s, Josephine County did not collect a dime of taxes. There was enough federal
for the county itself.
For the county itself, there was enough timber revenue coming in that they didn't even collect their own taxes. And when they did start collecting taxes in the 80s, the tax rate at that point in time was 27 cents a thousand. And basically, when Measure 5 came in, it rolled all the county tax, which it would be for the county, and there was a levy at that point in time for the library, rolled them together and got to 58 cents a thousand. In comparison to that, at that same moment, Jackson County was over $2 a thousand, just the way it worked out. So we've been locked in at that 58 cents a thousand, basically since Measure 50, which was in the 90s, mm-hmm. and trying to deal with that. And it worked so long as we had federal timber sales. Well, there's a lot of reason why we don't have federal timber sales now. And somebody else can argue those, but we just don't have them. So what do we do? Well, we don't really have the means to change our tax rate. So the only thing you can do is these temporary levies or do districts. And that's another thing that will probably be coming up later, is that we'll start seeing districts you saw one for the Extension Service for Josephine County, 4-H. There's one that's going to be on the November ballot for the Library District. You'll start seeing that because those will be independent districts, will have their own tax rate for their own services. So that's what's happening here in Josephine County.
All right. And if folks are wondering if we're going to have the con side on, the answer is yes, as of now. We just confirmed that we'll have the folks at We're for a Constitutional Government PAC on the show next Monday morning at 8:30. So same time slot, a week apart. Here's a call from Dennis and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Pat Fahey about Josephine County's public safety measure.
Say, I live in Eugene, and so what's going on down there doesn't directly affect me, but in the overall picture, I think that what government just hasn't realized yet is that the public, people like myself, retired people, people who have done what they were supposed to do all their lives and raised families and done, just good average Americans, we have reached our limit on being taxed, and our children don't make the kind of money that we made. For instance, when in the 70s, the amount of money I made per hour is more than a person who does that same job now by about $5 an hour. And so I think that the wages keep going down, and people have reached their limit on being taxed. And so I think what's happened is that we've got to come up with a new way of doing things. And I just think trying to get people to pay more taxes is a waste of time anymore. Here in Eugene, we're really skeptical.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we don't trust city government or county government at all. I mean, they tell us one thing and do another thing all the time.
And out of curiosity, Dennis, what job was that you talked about the pay scale for?
I was a sign painter.
Okay.
In the 70s, a union job, I made $18 an hour.
Oh,
that same job now pays about $12 an hour, and there really isn't any journeyman sign painters anymore because it's all done by a computer.
All right. Well, thanks for the issue here that you raised, and we'll take it up with Pat. Thanks for that, Dennis.
Actually, Dennis has a great point. And we're just, I don't know how to say it, but we're trying to explore what we can do, you know, what level of services we're willing to accept. Are we willing to accept basically have no patrols out in the county? And maybe that's where we end up at. Do we not want to incarcerate criminals? And a lot of what happens is that it's a response to laws that come from above. You know, the federal government enacts an edict where you have to have X amount of police officers for so many people that are incarcerated. Well, the sheriff has to respond to that. So he has to put his money there.
So a certain number of deputies in the jail, yes, per prison population.
Yeah, exactly. So there's all these rules and regulations that come down upon our government officials that they feel like they have to respond to. But yet, Dennis has a point. The taxpaying citizens are being asked to pay more and more of it. At the same time, at least in Southern Oregon or in Lane County as well, those funding mechanisms we used to have, such was the timber receipts, are no longer available. It probably affects counties like Lane County, Josephine County, Jackson County more than anywhere else because we historically based our budget on millions of dollars we got coming in from the federal government.
Yes, and there's an interesting examination to be had out there. If you look at Oregon County tax rates and look at the ones east of the Cascades of similar size to Josephine County that did not have timber payments coming in, and look at what those tax rates are. It's a bit of an eye-opening experience, and I recommend that. Pat Fahey is the chief petitioner for Measure 1759, and with the group Securing Our Safety, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Jason, for having me.
You bet.